You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
If somebody walked barefoot into church these days, what would you say?
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. The Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
God, cleanse us from our sins, inside out. With the power of your forgiveness, clean out the rottenness and purify our hearts with your grace, your kindness, your love, your forgiveness in Jesus Christ our Lord. Make us new again and give us new life, ready to receive your grace and to live graciously with one another. In the name of Jesus, amen. Never judge a book by its cover. Beauty is only skin deep. Both are proverbs, short summaries of human experience. Apparently, these two proverbs are only half true. To some extent, at least, a book can be judged by its cover. Cheap cover, cheap book. Glossy beauty painted on thick does tell you something about what is inside. Hard and cheap look, hard and empty soul. Even when they can see inside, people don't pay too much attention to what they see. They're interested mostly in what they see outside. They're taken in by what they see outside. A fresh coat of paint has sold many a house because people see only what they want to see, how it looks, rather than how it is. Jesus Christ not only saw things as they are, he saw through people as they are. With utter honesty and blunt frankness, he told it like it is. And he said, "Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into the mouth passes into the stomach and so passes on? But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from the heart, and this defiles a man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man." Jesus Christ was not taken in by surface appearances. Glossy piety and pretty slogans did not impress him. "He knew what is in man," said John. He certainly did. He looked inside, and he turned people inside out. What came up was not pretty. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Jesus Christ was talking to us, all of us, such as we are. We're terribly concerned about appearances and what happens on the outside. We blame our troubles and our problems on things that are happening outside. We complain about government and corrupt politics, the breakdown of the family and the evils that come from that, the moral bankruptcy of human institutions, including just about every institution you can think about, the dishonesty of advertising, the prevalence of pornography. In every case, it is somebody else trying to deceive us and destroy us. So we build defenses against the evils that threaten to overwhelm us. We build up the exterior so that the evil from the outside cannot get in. What we are doing often, of course, is seeing to it that the truth on the inside does not get out. Our Lord's concentration on what is happening inside, his breaking the locked doors of people's lives, and his stirring around in the garbage they keep behind those locked doors, aroused some opposition, of course. The remarkable thing is that most of that opposition did not come from people who are usually regarded as the dregs of society. They may not have liked this either, but they understood it. Some of them, if I read the New Testament correctly, came to understand him. They were past the point of trying to cover up. They had nothing to cover up, because everything had already been uncovered. Here was a man who had the courage to tell them the truth about what goes on inside a man or woman. And they knew what he said is true. Out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, slander. These are what defile a man. No, most of the opposition came from good people, pious people, righteous people, whose whole way of life was threatened by his piercing insight, looking deep inside instead of being satisfied with what he saw outside. For them, the greatest good was to appear righteous, to enjoy a visibility that made them acceptable and accepted, to create an image, as we say, which has become terribly important to the modern world. Threaten that and you threaten everything. Try to turn people like that inside out, and you become part of the evil out there, which needs to be eliminated, maybe even crucified. Certain pious and respected leaders of the religious community, the scribes and Pharisees, came to Jesus and said, "Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat." Jesus answered, "And why do you disobey God's command and follow your own teaching? For God said, 'Respect your father and your mother, and whoever curses his father or his mother is to be put to death.' But you teach that if a person has something he could use to help his father or mother, but says, 'This belongs to God,' he does not need to honor his father. In this way, you disregard God's command in order to follow your own teaching. You hypocrites! How right Isaiah was when he prophesied about you. 'These people,' says God, 'honor me with their words, but their heart is really far from me. There is no use for them to worship me, because they teach man-made rules as though they were my laws.'" The disciples of Jesus came to him then and said, "Do you know that the Pharisees had their feelings hurt by what you said?" Jesus answered them, "Don't worry about them. They are blind leaders of the blind. When one blind man leads another, both fall into a ditch." Peter then spoke up, "Explain this saying to us." Jesus said to them, "You are no more intelligent than the others. Don't you understand? Anything that goes into a person's mouth goes into his stomach and then out of his body. But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart. And these are the things that make a person unclean. For from his heart come the evil ideas which lead him to kill, commit adultery, and do other immoral things, rob, lie, and slander others. These are the things that make a person unclean. But to eat without washing your hands, as they say you should, this does not make a person unclean." Our problems, Jesus was saying, are not outside, but inside, in our hearts. The problem is not what your parents did or did not do, or what's happening in the world, or what's happening in your church, or anything that might invade you from the outside. Your problem is always what you're going to do with that stuff in your own heart, your own thoughts, your own feelings. It isn't the stuff that comes in from outside which defiles you and makes you unclean. It's the stuff that comes out from that heart of yours in the most ordinary and most human way in which things come out, through your mouth and in your own actions. The problem is inside out rather than outside in. washing one's hands before eating is not a bad thing. Jesus Christ never put a premium on filthiness or slovenliness. Even making a ritual of washing one's hands is not a bad thing. It could even become a religious ritual, as it was in those days. That would not be a bad thing. The criticism of Christ is not directed against the ritual, but against those people, good, pious, and righteous people, who had come to regard the ritual, the outward observance, as the heart of life. They did not hesitate to criticize other people for whom the ritual was just a means to an end rather than the end itself. That's the trouble with so much piety, so much religious observance. It comes to be the end rather than the means to an end. Ritual observance itself, whatever it may be, set up as a standard by which other people are judged, finally results in religious self-righteousness that is purely outward and has no root inside where it counts, in the wellspring of human thought and action, which is really the heart of life. The psalmist was right. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The root problem is always inside people. If the tree is not good, Jesus Christ said, there's no way for its fruit to be good. That has been the difficulty all along. Even though people maintain their cover of righteousness and refuse to acknowledge their sinfulness, these people actually tried to make out Jesus as the sinner who had to repent and turn inside out, rather than looking at themselves and letting themselves be turned inside out. The real enemy is within, that natural independence of the sinner and his hostility toward God, which are simply a fact of life. Out of the heart come the things that make the world what it is. Evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, and slander. These are the things that defile a man, along with a lot of other things Jesus could have mentioned. They're the things that people would just as soon forget about, even good, pious, righteous people. Sin is a subtle thing, and hidden sin has a subtlety all its own. It keeps people from God. The veneer of self-righteousness is hard to break through, even for God. In fact, it is impossible to break through, except for God. Only God can do the impossible. Sink his shaft of holy light through the inner recesses of a human heart and bring out what is there. It's like turning somebody inside out. That's what God does with the grace and mercy of his kindness toward people. That's what he may be doing to you right now. You know what you have inside. You may have been covering it up so long that you don't want to look at it. But there it is. God is poking around in that heart of yours to remind you and wake you up, to bring you around, to turn you inside out. These religious people to whom Christ was talking had glorified the law. They invoked the law to tell people how to be faithful and how to please God. They left people there, crushed by the accusations of the law and left to their own devices to try to cover up. There was not a finger of relief, not a drop of mercy. These lawgivers did not understand what it means, as Christ said, to live under God's mercy and to accept that mercy with the joyful freedom of the sons and daughters of God. They felt no pity because they knew no pity themselves. They gloried only in their illusion of superiority, and they presented themselves as models of obedience. Excusing themselves, they shielded themselves also from the grace which comes to people who have been turned inside out. Their defenses consisted in occupying their seats in the synagogue at the feasts, gloating over their ornate prayer shawls, and enjoying the greetings of others in the marketplace. Focusing entirely on outward behavior, they covered up what is inside, anxiety, unworthiness, and fear of what is to come. Jesus exposed what is inside, that terrified sinner clothing himself with inadequate fig leaves. If somebody walked barefoot into church these days, what would you say? It's against the rules in most places, even though bare feet in Hawaii are considered a mark of respect to God. Breaking the rules is looked down upon by many people. How would Jesus look at something like that? It's not what you have on your feet, but what you have in your heart that counts.
he said. Out of the heart come the evil ideas which lead people to kill, commit adultery, rob, lie, and slander other people. Into that heart, filled with all that stuff, there comes the grace of God. The grace of God is in Jesus Christ. That explains why Jesus Christ is putting the truth in such blunt fashion, so that we can understand the grace of God. He forgives for the sake of his own son, Jesus Christ. That son of his gave his life for you. He took death, what you have coming to you, paying that price for you. He was on his way to that death when he said these things. These are the things that make a person unclean. Not the stuff from outside, but the stuff from inside. For that, he died. And for that, God gave him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. In the confession, which has become a part of their ritual, many Christians say, Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. If that is just ritual, of course, it doesn't mean a thing. If it is a confession of the heart, it means a great deal. The Lord looks on the heart. Now he's looking at your heart, right at this moment. Let him turn that heart of yours inside out, and let him fill it with his forgiveness. A young man wrote a little statement called River of Mercy. Among other things, he said, how can it be that I am as I am, seemingly good, rotten deep down, applauding others' accomplishments, impregnated with jealousy, living a lie, contacting somebody's eyeballs and not saying hello. Hate me. I deserve it. I see my rottenness. I suffer guilt. But I am powerless. Am I a slave? I'm afraid. Help me. Help me, please. Desperation. Need. Desire. There stands on deserted mount, black against the twilight sky, a God-forsaken cross. A lamb bleeds. The river flows by. I plunge in. Purged. At long last, freed. At peace. Cleansed. That young man did not overstate his case. He did not overstate yours. It was written a long time ago by the prophet Jeremiah. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. That means it's rotten, it's putrid, it smells. It is, as the young man said, rotten deep down. That young man today lives to the Lord, once unclean, now cleansed by the blood of Christ. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's the gospel. It's the good news of God in Jesus Christ. It's God turning you inside out and coming to live in that inside out heart of yours. It's forgiveness and it's life. It's joy and it's hope. It is truth and it is cleansing. Not from the outside in, but from the inside out. Which is, of course, what really counts. Amen.